The Money Show. Investment School.
Now, during the week, we generally rush through quite a few stories that really happen on the market picture, right? But I suppose this is the time where we get to unpack them a little bit more and give a little bit of a sense of understanding as to why certain things happen the way they do. Today, we're talking about the impact of state intervention on investments. So governments getting involved when it comes to investments, the corporate sector. And we've even seen on the local front, even things like corporate pay. Locally, we've seen Minister Ibrahim Patel speak about how he wants the compensation of CEOs and CFOs to be a little bit more open, because that speaks to just how the wage gap in South Africa looks like, and how perhaps to better that and create a non-exorbitant environment when it comes to the pay of executives. So that's another state intervention, right, on the world of investments and business and markets. And just how critical and important does that become to enhancing the financial sector locally? So that is our conversation for the Investment School. Joseph Busha, the Managing Director at JM Busha Investment Group, joins us this evening. It's a good evening to you, Joseph. Let's start, I suppose, then on the international front. It's been a big news story, and it's hurt the likes of Naspers. It's hurt Prosus as well, of course. China continuing to scrutinize a whole lot of its industries. They've always sort of played a big hand in particular sectors, haven't they?
Fantastic. You really summarized it very well in terms of the impact of either policy or state interventions in investments. So that has been great. And I think in view of that, in terms of the recent policy interventions on business activities, in different countries, and in particular here, you know, we've been looking at how China has been scrutinizing, and putting policies or legislations, you know, to be able to direct companies, in terms of how they conduct businesses in a certain way. Okay. So this, you know, you mentioned Naspers, Prosus, Tencent, and what has been called really a crackdown over the recent weeks. We had the tech stocks. You mentioned Naspers and Alibaba and the Ant Group. That has been basically been stopped from issuing an IPO purely because China has just put some few regulations there. And you saw how those stocks really got hammered. They also had that on online education, that companies could not profit from education. But I think if you really look at it, given the COVID environment where everybody was going online, and online became the only way children could go or attend school or get educated, and then they said, well, this cannot be a profit-making kind of activity. But remember, these businesses are there for profits. You buy on the basis of how the earnings are going to grow and how much dividends will be paid. They also then went into video gaming industry. They've done, crackdown on cryptocurrencies. And at some stage said banks could not trade in
cryptocurrencies.
Bitcoin. So they've also really also gone in terms of to say, well, children can only watch games for about, is it 3 hours or 9 hours?
So it's 3 hours on the, I think 3 hours on the weekend, during the week in total, right? Or something of that sort. But yeah, it's completely limiting the amount of video game time. And what China's, I suppose, the biggest video game market in the world. Would you be fearful as an investor? You sit there thinking to yourself, I've entered this market on this particular reason, right? Knowing that there is a big market for a particular item, and the state then gets involved and diminishes that. How much less investment do you then put into sort of that market?
Well, certainly I agree with you. I mean, look at it. China's got 1.3, 1.4 billion people. And all these big companies certainly have gone massive on gaming. You started from PlayStations to all these things, and everybody is really kind of hooked onto that. Now, if you then say you can only do it for 3 hours and come and sometimes any money on advertising, so advertising, the purchase of the equipments and all the different gadgets, and all of a sudden now you're told that you can't. So if the hours are limited, it means obviously the amount you can purchase is also limited or reduced. And if you've done your investments, you've done your calculations based on population and consumption, obviously that's where the retail is. What you do as an investor or a company, then you won't be able to produce the same profits you were producing. They even went on to cross-border gambling. You know, they also tried to, you know, to say we have to control cross-border gambling. So I think all those things, we've seen how much they've had stocks. Look at Naspers. You know, we had Naspers coming to about 4,000 rand per share, currently now back to about 2,300. Process done very almost close to 2,000 rand per share, now coming down to about 1,000 per share. So massive movements into that. But the most interesting one is really, you know, if you look at it, is the Evergrande one. You know, right now, you know, they were talking about capping the debt a company can have in relationship to its cash flows, assets, and capital levels. So what they're saying in essence is that they're going to decide on the capital structure of a company, you know, how much debt or how much equity a company can actually have. And that could be problematic for lots of businesses because that's supposed to be left to the board of directors to decide and the mix. But if they're going to say, well, listen, the cap you can have on debt is A, B, C, D based on your cash flows, they then need to look at the formulas that can apply to all industries. Because remember, debt levels are sometimes acceptable at different levels in different industries. So how they're going to implement that is very interesting. And this is really what introduces volatility and losses in the market. I just mentioned Evergrande. You know, the Chinese largest property developer, and certainly in the world, if they're the biggest Chinese developer, they're the biggest in the world, with 1,300 estate projects in more than 280 cities in China. So they are swimming in about $300 billion debt, and people are saying, well, they might not be able to service it. So are we really going back to 2008 subprime kind of induced crisis when the markets crumbled because some few companies in America could not really, you know, service and collapse. So the share price is 80% down. So, you know, the debate then is, what are we going to see?
That one becomes so tough, actually. I think the Evergrande story is going to be one to really look out for. Investors really wary on that front. Just very quickly, we also have the US Fed decision, right? They look... I mean, tomorrow is the end of their latest meeting. We've had Jackson Hole and that meeting too. They still seem very keen to announce the tapering perhaps later on this year, maybe November, December, pulling back on how they boost the market. Still, the continued intervention there on ensuring that the market continues to go higher, and yet the bull run may be over.
The bull run, you're right there, the bull run could be over. I mean, look at our market really. We were really soaring ahead, you know, from January. You know, the all share index was looking at about 70,000 mark. Now we below 63, about 62, almost the levels of 2019. So you can see really how these policy interventions or state interventions and changes in legislation and so on could really hammer the market. I mean, locally, you've seen how the commodities have been hammered. But going back to the Fed decisions that is coming. So investors really look at two key issues whenever the Fed has its meeting. You know, the two crucial issues or indicators are the employment numbers and inflation. So they almost say these are the two goals they need to be able to watch to steer the U.S. economy forward. So they want to make sure that the job creation, which is reported month on month, which is fantastic. I mean, if you compare what we do here in Mzansi and possibly, you know, State SA will give us a quarterly job numbers and so on. But they do it on month. That's how accurate or how serious they are about, you know, reducing unemployment. So the target, you know, growth, obviously we look to say how many jobs have been added month on month. The inflation target is about 2% compared to ours, which is really 3 to 6. We imported that.
Sure.
So people are looking to say, is the tone of the Fed really a hawkish or dovish kind of statement?
The confusion.
And that does certainly give direction to how the markets grow from the in terms of the emerging markets and certainly obviously the developed. So if the whole issue is really dovish or You know, people could say, well, you know, we want to move away from, you know, emerging markets or riskier assets, and they will start selling, and possibly the dollar will start strengthening, and hence our rand will
weaken. Takes a bit
so
of
in
a
some
weakness.
Cases, you know, when our rand is weakening, it's not because of local issues, but it's purely because the dollar will
100%. I want to unpack that one a little bit more, and I suppose it comes into a little bit of that market volatility picture. But let's continue our investment school then, and the impact of state intervention on investments with Joseph Busha right after this.
The Money Show.
Investment School.
We're still on that investment school then, the impact of state intervention on investments. Joseph Busha, Managing Director, JM Busha Investment Group, joins us this evening for this one. Joseph, thank you again. So before the break, we're talking just about the U.S. Fed decision and the impact that has had really on even the local currency, right, which has weakened quite a bit of late, taking into account just, I think, the market maybe correcting itself, having seen even the local currency hit some positive numbers, even thought at some stage we might break 14 Rand against the US dollar. But market volatility and the impact there from state intervention, how has that gone?
So this is really like 2 weeks ago when the rand was almost going to break 14 Rand to the dollar. And all of a sudden now we're looking, you know, upwards, like towards 15. So these are the things really that brings in volatility, because some of those things, you know, unplanned, and government just wakes up or events do happen, you know, to do that. So markets really are moved by two things. When it comes to a company, it's based on events, either earnings, economic growth, dividends, and expectations. But sometimes it's, you know, the world swings, which we see are certainly due to non-company related events, which we have already mentioned. You know, the pandemic, say the corona or COVID-19 that happened last year, we saw what happened. The state then would come through, in particular if you look at the COVID-19, to say, well, we're going to close, you know, companies are not going to operate because we need to reduce the impact of infections. But that has got ripple effects in the sense that companies won't be able to, you know, get the profits they got the previous year. Because remember, when you're buying investments, you want the company to improve on the previous financial year. So you want the earnings to grow, and you think they will continue to pay dividends. But if they don't trade, what happens then is that, you know, the company's got no money to be able to pay to shareholders. You know, we've had events that are not related to company activities, like wars and collapse of big companies. Right now, we're looking at Evergrande, but, you know, we in the past 2008, 2003, 2001, the Iraq War, 1997, the Asian crisis. So these are some of the events that brings in massive volatility to the markets, and in particular hurting investments in the short term. So when that happens, you know, you then get governments either printing money, and when they start printing money to be able to cushion the investment markets, when they stop again, investors are not happy because you know, it was serving a certain purpose. So volatility, I think, is with us. Is with us because I believe that, you know, some of the commodity prices were boiling, and also it depends on the consumption from China. Once China starts easing, you know, the production or consumption of some of our commodities, that brings in risk to our markets. You know, people either will start selling their rands, which then basically, you know, would then affect our commodity-based companies, in particular the mining, which has been reporting bumper profits purely because, sure, you know, the rand has been quite weakish and stable. So depends what we see next year, if they're able to produce the same numbers we saw this year.
Very quickly then, Imperial, I mean, they're sort of purchased then from that Dubai Ports state-owned entity is quite interesting. Plus, of course, the Burger King acquisition. The state, in the form, I suppose, of the Competition Commission and the like, also getting involved on that one. Does it change how deals in the equity market sort of move forward?
Certainly. I think you look at it, if we go on to Burger King, you know, capital partners, equity capital partners were supposed to purchase. So government said, well, you know, you can't really do that because, you know, you haven't met certain conditions in terms of BEE. So that has dragged in for a while. But I'm happy. I think, you know, the tribunal, competent tribunal have come to say, well, we'll give you some few conditions to do that. You need to create about 1,250 jobs linked to obviously previously disadvantaged people who did not have access. You need to establish 60 new stores to make them 150 in SA. So these are some of the conditions I think they would put before they can give the transaction a go ahead. Mm. But there were also issues that if it does not go ahead, you know, it does affect, you know, BE beneficiaries. But also, this could be country risk in the sense that offshore investors will say, well, if we go to South Africa, you know, we're going to get this whole negative approach to it. And that could deter further investments. Remember our president, President Ramaphosa, had pledged that we're going to get, I think, 100 billion rand.
It's been so difficult for him to... Joseph, look, it certainly has been very difficult for him to try and continue that investment drive because just people have not really taken up the mantle because of our own goals as well. And so you try to shore up that investment space as well as much as possible. Very difficult, though. Joseph, we're going to have to leave it there, though. Thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it on this investment school, the impact of state intervention on investments. That's Joseph Busha from JM Busha Investment Group.